Praise God. It's our time now to receive the word. You know, Paul encouraged Timothy at one point, said, guard the good deposit that is within you, that which is within you in the land on my hands. And when you think about Pastor Jim and the work that God gave him to teach his people faith, he's never wavered from that. No matter what attacks have come, no matter what situations in life that he may go through, he's stuck with the call to teach his people faith, that we may stand no matter what comes against us. Amen. We would know what it truly means to believe, to trust in God, and that if we don't quit, we will win. Amen. That should be drilled into every one of us here. So praise God. Prepare your hearts and open up your minds to receive our pastor, Pastor Jim.
To God be the glory. Hi, y'all. The man of valor putting notes in your hands, and I just want to say this. If you were not here Wednesday night, you missed a tremendous, I told Brother John after church, I said, that was a pastoral message. Normally, Brother John is evangelistic, but Wednesday night, he preached a pastoral message, and very soon, it's going to be time to launch some of these young men and ladies of our congregation into other satellite locations for House of the Lord. Well, Pastor, we hadn't got this place filled, and you're talking about expanding. I found that God does great things. And if you're not expecting more than you're living, then you'll always live what you have. I said, if you're not expecting more than what you're living, you'll always have what you're living. Before we get started today, I want to take a second. Some of you that's been here a long time have heard me say a lot of things. One Sunday in the middle of a message, I said, buy copper. And Derek and others went and bought copper, and it did what? When Hillary was running and Obama was running a few years ago, I told you that she would not be elected because God had said, and when he's elected, I'll deal with his heart. Well, I was told recently that I had become political because I said, you can't be right with God and vote for the Democratic Party. That's not political, that's Bible. When they are supporting abortion, homosexual marriage, perversion, criminality, and I got a call this morning, they said, on a national conference call of the campaign workers for Donald Trump this week, Pastor Jim was quoted as saying, Donald Trump will be the next president. Well, it has nothing to do with politics, church. Before he was the candidate, I told you he would be because I heard that voice. And I want to build on what Brother Price was saying earlier. That voice is talking to you all the time. It's just, sometimes we think, oh, that's just me, or that couldn't be real. But once you get acquainted with God's voice, you'll find out some of the great things he wants to do through you, the great things he wants to bring about through you. God is in the business of taking nothing and making something of it, of taking nobodies and promoting them. So a year before he was the candidate, I told you, Donald Trump will be the next president. I was laughed at. I was ridiculed. No, Bush is it. Then it was this one, that one, this one, that one. Hillary's got too much money. She can't be defeated. I said, I know what God said. When you get a hold of something God said to you, you can make $1 million with it. I can remember when I was working for 50 cents an hour and thought, if I ever got to where I was making $1,000 a month, I would be rich. One day I was sitting in an office and realized that I had just concluded a two-hour meeting for which I'd be paid over $1,000 because I was making right at $1,000 an hour consulting. I thought, man, if I could just make this, if I could make that. And then I realized something. I got to thinking back when I was working for 50 cents an hour and thought $100 was all the money in the world. If I had $100 in my pocket, I'd be rich. Church, there ain't no stopping place. Praise team, y'all all remember this? Then let's do it because the pastor's not winging it today.
To God be the glory.
To God. Today say a new man, some assembly required. A lot of people think once I get saved, it's all done. No, that's your introduction. Hello. Am I back? In the barrel. Somebody's mic was too hot and I'm picking it up. The new man, the born-again life, some assembly required. Some of you will remember over a decade ago, we were at the Baptist encampment on Lake Travis, and Brother Richard brought a lesson on some assembly required. And he taught the difference between being gathered and being assembled. At Christmas time, some of y'all will learn the lesson of gathered. There'll be a box, and all the parts will be gathered in it. But there's some assembly required for that to function. In this box is gathered all of the things that need to be added to your life so that you can be assembled properly before the Lord. But if you don't know there's some assembly required, you don't add to what God started at your salvation. And that's why some people are not developing in their finances, in their marriage, in their workplace, because they're not adding to. A lot of people think, I got a job, I'm set. No, what do you add to that job? Well, I do what they told me to do, and I go home, and then I get my check. That's why you're not being promoted. That's why you're not being advanced, because the people getting promoted get to the job early. They don't run in while the bell is still ringing that it's time to go to work. They're already at their position with their stuff ready when the bell rings it's time to go to work. They're constantly looking for ways. I've known of people who worked for IBM and other companies who didn't just walk past that box that said suggestions. They would see a way to improve the assembly line and they would write it down and put it in the box. And pretty soon they were getting incentive bonuses that were greater than their paycheck because they were adding to. Not just, well, I ain't going to get into this. I put this screw in this place, and then I get the next one, I put that screw in that place, and that's all I do. And when it's over, I go home. I was on a boat going down the Intercoastal Canal in Fort Lauderdale. And the guide said, you see that large white pillared mansion, Mount Vernon style? And I looked over and said, he said, he worked for General Motors. And he helped assemble the compressors for the air conditioning units on General Motors cars. Some of you are old enough to remember, if you were driving down the road and you didn't have the air conditioning on, you wanted to turn it on. Brother David, we had to shift into neutral, let the engine idle down, we'd turn the air conditioning on, and then we could put it back in gear, or you had to wait till you came to a stop to put your air conditioning on, because if you turned it on while the motor was above 1500 RPMs, it'd blow the compressor up. Now, not all of y'all are old enough to remember that, but in the early days, you started the car, and while it was still idle, you started the air conditioning. You couldn't start the car with the air conditioning on, and you couldn't start it when your engine was revved up or it blew up the compressor. Well, this guy invented the magnetic clutch, and he offered to sell it to General Motors for $50,000. General Motors said, no, we ain't paying you a dime. You invented that on the assembly line working for us, so it's ours. So he went to court and sued General Motors, and they ended up paying him 50 cents for every compressor on every vehicle that was ever built by General Motors. He was instantly a millionaire, a multi-millionaire. The house that he was living in, the piece of property it sat on, cost $3 million, right on the point of the Intercoastal Canal. How did he have the money to live there? His wife didn't believe in him, but his new wife, after he became a millionaire, really believed in him a lot. But he fought General Motors, he won, because he had an idea. He didn't have a fortune. He was a by-the-hour assembly line worker who finished his life a multimillionaire living on the Intercoastal Canal in Fort Lauderdale. I can tell you dozens of such stories. The intermittent windshield wipers that a gentleman created and had to sue Ford because Ford stole his idea, and he became a multimillionaire. Again, his wife didn't believe in him, but his new wife did. Once you become a millionaire, it's easy for people to believe in you. When you're going through struggles, and sometimes it's not even an idea, it's an understanding. So that when they came into me and said, your chances of living are maybe 20%, I went, okay. Because I know something you don't know. I know that with the stripes I was healed. But you'll never walk again. Okay. You'll never talk again. Okay. You may be a vegetable. Okay. But I ain't going for none of it. Why? I had assembled my mind together with what had happened in my heart according to his word. I was a new person. But it runs in your family. It ran in my old family. I have a new family. Jehovah, Lord of hosts, is my God, and he don't have no heart problems. church, if you will start assembling all of the parts that are gathered in this new covenant to your life, you will find out that you are greater than anyone around you ever believed you could be. T.L. Osborne said years ago, you don't need anything but an idea from God. A man living in a mud hut in Malawi read that and began to pray, God, give me an idea. Less than 5 years later, he flew his private jet, or he flew on his private jet to America to meet with T.L. Osborne and tell him, I was living in a mud hut with dirt floors, and I read your newsletter that said all I needed was an idea from God. I prayed. God gave me an idea. And now I am the largest contractor in Malawi, and I have three government buildings under construction right now that I'm building. And when I got the idea, I was running a wheelbarrow. He was operating a wheelbarrow. Now he's operating a national corporation because he got an idea from God. And when he found out he could get an idea, God gave him an idea. He asked God, how do I do that? And God told him. Then he got to the next stage. God, how do I do that? And God told him. Church, you are greater than you understand. I said, you are greater than you understand. Some of you have had times in your life where something occurred. I remember a number of years ago, a car fell on a teenager, and his mother came out, running out of the house when she heard the noise, grabbed the front bumper, picked the car up so her son could get out from under the car. Pastor, that can't be done. You'd be surprised what can be done when the situation calls for it. It's just that much of the time, we get lazy and let the cards fall that come rather than calling for the cards we need. Okay, all of that was free. Now we're going to click the meter in and start charging you for the rest of this. Spiritual sight requires spiritual birth. The reason a lot of us don't see what's going on around us is our spiritual eyes have never been opened. We are born again to a degree, but only to the degree it doesn't affect the way we are. We used to have an expression, Derek, I don't know how many remember, it's called sold out. Sold out meant you was all in. You weren't holding anything back. A lot of people come to God and they got their cards right here. Well, God, I'll give you Sunday mornings, but I got to have Wednesday night. And I'll give you an offering when I'm not hurting for cash, but if I'm hurting, I'm going to. And as long as you keep part of you back and refuse the total surrender of your heart, your mind, your spirit, God, I am yours. I will do what you want me to do. People say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Why should he waste his breath if you won't hear? You see, me, we teach God about who we are. A lot of people say, oh, no, Brother Jim, you got that wrong. God knows everything. I choose to believe that's not true. And I can back it up with the Word of God. God put Abram in a position And when Abraham passed the test, God said, now that I know I can trust you. Many of us have been put in a position to find out if he could trust us with millions. He would say, put that last 20 in the offering. Well, I need that 20. You just told God he can't trust you with $1 million. If he can't trust you with the 20, how can he trust you with great abundance? You mean I'm limiting God's ability to bless me? Yes. Because he said, give and it will be given to you. He didn't say, after I give you something, then you can give. But the devil tries to convince people that if God wanted you to give, he would have seen to it you had something to give. And I've seen our life change because in a situation where money was desperate and God said something and we gave anyway because God said do it. And I mean, I'm talking about being in Houston, Texas, when we had a couple of bucks in our pocket to get home, wasn't sure we had enough gas and nothing to eat to get home. And God said something and the devil started arguing with me. And I said, I'll show you. I just reached and took everything out of my pocket and put it in the offering because he said, you can't give that. I knew if he was telling me I couldn't, I really needed to. And the next day, my doorbell rang early. Somebody showing up at my house to bless me. Never happened before, never happened since. But because God saw he could trust me. Well, Pastor, I want to flow in miracles and signs and wonders. The last time he asked you to pray for someone, did you do it? Well, if they had been blind or deaf and he told me to lay hands on them, I would have. No, he told you to pray for Sister Ethel because he knew she was going through something and needed your prayer to stand in the gap for her. And if he can't trust you to pray for her at a distance, he sure ain't going to trust you to pray up close and personal. Don't cut God off in your life, church. Just in case someone next to you was sleeping, let me say it again. Don't cut God off in your life. When God says do something small, do it. Well, if he asked me to sell everything and move to China, I would do it. No, you wouldn't. Because he asked you to get up early and pray for Sister Bucketmouth, and you said, I don't even like her. She can pray for her own stinging self. But church, God said he uses the little things to confound the wise. Well, Pastor, it doesn't make any sense to me. You're in Houston, Texas at a John Osteen meeting and you're short of cash and you give everything away? Yeah. So we had to forego stopping at Whataburger on the way back. We didn't have to. I just thought we did. I could have showed up at Whataburger and he'd have had someone buy me lunch, but we drove home and God still took care of it. Lou and I have learned through the years that when something is on the line that we'd like, we seed towards it. Give an offering in advance because we're giving towards what we're expecting. Not saying, God, if you'd give me something, I'd give you something back. No, God said, all action begins with you. If you draw nine to me, I'll draw nine to you. God very seldom hunts you down in the back alley at a pool hall, but you come walking past the church and hear gospel music and are drawn in because you made that initial step. To see the kingdom of God that is already in the earth, we need spirit-washed eyesight and spirit-discerned understanding. I am reading currently something that I'm going to be recommending to the minister to the body to read. And as I was reading, the guy said, we need to be born again so that when the new earth comes, we can see the kingdom of God. And my old spirit went screeching to a halt. The kingdom of God is in the earth right now. The kingdom of God is in the earth right now. It's just that a lot of people aren't seeing it, and because they're not seeing it, they're not participating. But it's like the story Brother Ken told of Shark Tank. Once they saw it was working, they wanted it in. Once you see what's already at work around you, you're going to want in. But as long as you're spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually dumb, and spiritually numb, you don't even know the kingdom's going on when it's going on all around you. The kingdom of God is not of the natural realm, so it cannot be naturally discerned with your natural eyesight. John 3:1-7. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a church leader. This man came to Jesus by night, so nobody would see him, and said to him, Rabbi, meaning teacher. You see, he had to bow down to call a person who wasn't of his faith teacher when he was a teacher of his faith. So the natural teacher said to the spiritual teacher, teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no man can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, many people read that and they go, Jesus changed the subject on him. He didn't change the subject. The rabbi, the teacher, came to the teacher and said, we know you must be a teacher from God because the miracles show that God is doing something in your life. You got miracles and we don't, so there's got to be something different. And Jesus said, here's the difference. It's the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of religion. I'm in the kingdom of God. You represent tradition. I represent God's position. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? You see, his natural mind thought born again is rebirth. And it was rebirth, but it wasn't full-grown rebirth. It was spiritual conception. Jesus answered, truly, truly, or of a truth, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Again, as I was reading this writer, we disagreed because he said the water was not baptism, that it was the Old Testament prophecy about the sprinkling of cleansing. I said, no, he's missed it again, because it is the water baptism. Water baptism doesn't save you, although there's a passage that says that. It doesn't mean that's how you got born again. It just means that's how you're redeemed, not born again. Pastor, what do you mean? When I'm born again, that's a spiritual thing that takes place. When I am baptized, that is a personal testimony of my identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of my Lord. So it is a public testimony before all who go. Oh, it's not tradition. Well, you got your name on the church roll, now you got to get dunked. We don't dunk people. We immerse them unto identification. It doesn't mean to sprinkle. It doesn't mean to pour. It means to immerse. Because when you go down, Romans teaches us, what you're saying is identify with the death of my Lord. And now, just as the Holy Spirit brought him forth from the dead, the clergy or minister doing the baptism brings me forth from the watery grave. And I say to everybody, I have joined him in identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection, because the resurrection is where the power is. It's not the suffering Jesus on the cross. Because a million Jesus could have gone to the cross and it wouldn't change your life. They had to conquer something. They had to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Sickness, disease, poverty, and all those things were put on him. He had to conquer those, and when he came out, all of those things together trying to hold him down in the hell of Satan's presence couldn't hold him down. As soon as God said again, the Holy Spirit acted on God said, and again, there was a time when he was not the Son of God, and again, he was the Son of God. Way to sneak it in there, Andrew. Water. Your baptism is not just something you do because that's what church people do. Your baptism says to the devil, the demons, that little imp that used to control your life, it says to all the people around you, I am now one with the resurrected Lord. I have changed sides. I'm clothed with a newness of life. And Spirit, no one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. So the fact that you are born again says the Spirit part is taking place. And the fact that you're baptized says my identification now is fully complete. I'm not a secret Christian. I'm not an undercover believer. I have openly professed before the devil and hell and everybody else, I am one with the resurrection of my Lord. The first step in the kingdom citizen growth process begins with faith in God through the anointed Redeemer. Yeshua did for me what I could not do for myself. Yeshua paid the price I couldn't pay. Yeshua conquered an enemy I couldn't fight. The new birth, a step of faith into kingdom life. Baptism unto identification with the resurrected Lord is the next step. Then the next step is beginning to allow knowledge to be engrafted to your life. You need to learn what took place in your salvation. While I gave the Lord my heart. Church, that don't say much. I mean, it's a nice spiritual bumper sticker. I gave him my heart. Well, that's about as meaningful as I left my heart in San Francisco. What really took place? I was rescued out of death and destruction. I was removed from the kingdom of darkness and I was translated. I experienced light travel. James 1:21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Pastor, what exactly does that mean? I've shared this with you before, but as a young man, we had a pecan tree. And I was at the park the other day with Rosie, and she was picking up these little tiny acorn-sized pecans. And she said, are these any good? And I said, yeah, those are natural pecans. That's natural Texas pecans. Well, what about them big ones? I said, those are the paper shell. And the way you get those is you take a limb from a paper shell pecan tree and you cut off a limb on a natural pecan tree and you graft the two together. And now that limb starts producing paper shell pecans. As a young man, we had a tree in our yard that wasn't producing. And one day, an old gentleman showed up at our house with a stack of branches he had cut off of a paper shell pecan tree. And he went to work cutting the branches at a diagonal. And then he would lay the new branch on there, bind it together. And the next season, we had paper shell pecans. We still had some limbs with them little tiny scrawny pecans, but we had some of them nice big paper shell. Why? Because it was engrafted with a new nature. So I read the Word of God and it says, study to show yourself approved. I add that to my life and I start studying to show myself approved. I find where it says, with his stripes I was healed, and I graft that to hold my aching body, and now I start producing health. The engrafting of the Word of God means I apply the Word to my life to replace the way I used to be. So if I was producing fear, I graft in. I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I decree, I no longer have the spirit of fear in me. When a person who is a believer tells you they have a problem with fear, they've told you, I haven't allowed the Word to be engrafted into that area of my life, so I'm still producing fear because I've not grafted the Word in to produce faith. Are you listening, church? If you engraft the Word that says, with the stripes I were, past tense, 2,000 years ago, healed, then I no longer produce, I'm sick. I began to produce, this lie is leaving my body. Well, Pastor, what if it doesn't leave the first time you say it? Laying in a hospital bed, paralyzed, I had to tell me because I couldn't tell anybody else. I just about drove Brother Steve and Lou crazy during that time when I couldn't talk, and they would get this board that had the alphabet, and I would try and I would try and make words. Don't try and spell Mephibosheth when you're paralyzed. It can't be done. But they had a hard time communicating with me because I was unable to speak. And it used to frustrate me because I couldn't say anything. I couldn't get it clear. Look at my eyes. It means I want a drink of water. They weren't reading my thoughts. But I continued to tell myself when I couldn't tell anybody else, with the stripes I was healed. And pretty soon I could talk again. Because I would not produce the fruit of paralysis, I was going to produce the engrafted Word, with the stripes I was healed. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Get this. The day I put on a U.S. Army uniform, I became the enemy of the North Vietnamese, the Chinese, and the Russians. And all I had to do was wear that uniform, and they wanted to kill me. I voted against it. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. Are you convinced that with his stripes I was healed? Well, it would really be nice, Pastor, if that was true. You're a fool. You're wanting to produce something that you're not willing to engraft. With his stripes I was healed, and daily I continue to be healed. And I refuse to die. Why? It's not on the program. I'm come that you might have life and have that life in abundance. In a few days, I'll turn 70. And when I was 34, I could explain to you all the reasons why Jesus would come before I was 40. I had been schooled in religiosity. Now I can explain to you the reason why he's not coming. Because the kingdom of God has to take certain levels of manifestation before he returns. And we haven't had enough people yet wake up and start grafting the word in to produce the fruit of the kingdom. You, however, continue the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Well, I learned them from Pastor Jim. No, no, no. You learned them through Pastor Jim, but you learned them from Jesus. Pastor Jim can't teach you nothing but what he has learned of the Lord. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Pastor, what does it mean? He gives me the wisdom that leads to salvation. First, you got to be smart enough to realize you're blind before you can have your eyes opened. If you're born blind, you've never seen anything, you don't know there's another world out there. I have had the experience of seeing people whose eyes were opened for the first time, both surgically and through the laying on of hands. And to see the expression when they first look around, whether it's when the bandages came off or the minister took his hands off and their eyes were open and all of a sudden they saw a world they didn't know existed. But that world existed all the time. They were just unable to see it. The kingdom of God exists around you. But until you get enough of this assembled to your life, you don't even know what to look for. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. For training in righteousness? Yeah, it teaches me how to be right with God and with man, and with health, and with wealth, and with joy, and with peace. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You mean this New Testament will equip me for every good work? Yeah. Studying the Word of God will help you learn how to do things you can't do, see things you've never seen, know things you've never known. It's just like having the blinders removed and all of a sudden you see a whole world around you that you never knew existed. It was there all the time. You were just incapable of comprehending it. And until you get enough of the new covenant scriptures in you, there are things about God you can't see, know, or even believe exist. Be diligent to present yourself to approve to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The word of truth will equip you to handle sickness, disease, poverty, financial crisis. It'll equip you to handle any and everything in life. Number four, you need to add fellowship. Not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some. Yes, the habit of some not to come to church. But don't be like them. You need the assembly with other believers because they'll rub off on you. And they need to assemble with you because you'll rub off on them. And together you'll sharpen one another. And sometimes it's a painful process, but you're better because of it. Accurately handling the word of truth as you assemble together. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, Pastor, I don't see the day drawing near. Things look just like they always have. That's because you haven't assembled enough of the word into you to see what's already there. The more you know about God, the more you'll see around you. Fellowship. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They was hanging out with other believers. Why? Because while we're hanging out, we find out Brother Richard learned something about God this week that we haven't experienced yet. And then Diana comes along and says, I found this in the scripture. And we get excited. And she goes, wait a minute, I found this. And we go, wait a minute, this and this and this. Now I can see this. Everyone has something to add. But forget them horns. Forget them cowboys. When you're hanging out with other believers, do you want to waste your time talking about Romo, or do you want to find out how to destroy the works of Satan? I know a lot of us are sports people, and I'm not. Because at a very early age, before I discovered professional sports, just regular sports, I noticed that if somebody could do something, everything else about their life was immaterial because they could bat 400. They could throw a ball 50 yards and hit a target. So that made them special. But then I found out, hanging out with them, they were just as gnarly as me. And so I learned at a very early age not to hero worship anybody. So I don't care what any sports person or professional this or that do, it don't mean nothing. Because I've sat down with people who were millionaires and people who were very popular in the movie industry and the music industry, and I find out they all burp just like I do. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. How do I grow in this word? How does this word grow in me? They were praising God with gladness of heart and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to the number day by day because they were concentrating on what made them strong, not what made them weak. I hate to see a group of believers get together and compare ailments. Well, I got this pain over here. Yeah, but I got this pain up here. I got this word in here that says, with the stripes I was made whole. Why do I want to talk about what the devil's trying to do in my life when that'll only make it worse and compounded? But if I'll talk about what God is doing in my life, it'll make it better and compound it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. I want you to notice that verse is in Deuteronomy, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It must be important. Because I add love to my walk as believing God. I'm not just saved, I'm born again. And I've added love to my walk. Love God, and that causes me to love other people who are made in His image. The worst person you know is loved by God. Not what they are and what they do, but they're loved by God. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, you all know the love passage. Many of you had it read at your wedding. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love doesn't vaunt itself. Love never fails. Love is the backstop that keeps your Christian walk sane. Pastor, what do you mean? There are sometimes I've got to love you in silence so I don't hate you in loud terms. One of the things that I've got to add to my life is I exalt truth over facts. You'll know the truth, and the truth that you know will make you free in the area you know it. When I know the truth, with His stripes I was healed, you can't keep me bound. When I know the truth, I will live and not die, you can't keep me bound. When I know the truth, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. I am never helpless. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Pastor, what does that mean? Sanctify means to separate. The truth separates me from the lies of Satan. The more truth I graft to my life, Michelle, the more I understand I can do all things through the anointing. The more truth I graft to my life, the more fruit I can produce of you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does that mean? Your word tells me where I am and shows me where I'm going. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. You can't win fighting the truth. The truth is, I am blessed. Why would I want to fight that? The truth is, I'm healed. Why would I want to fight that? The truth is, I am eternally secure in my salvation. Why would I want to fight that? The word of truth separates us from the blindness of the world system. The word of truth separates, sanctifies us from the world system. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Pastor, what does that mean? The Word of God lights or illuminates my eyes so I can see what people in darkness can't see. I can see hope on the most dismal, dark day there is, because the light of it is written, gives me insight. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that mean? My spiritual eyes have to be opened through spiritual truth to see spiritual reality. We walk into a room, and everybody in that room is speaking Portuguese. And you only speak English. They only speak German. They only speak Italian. Who is being enlightened as that conversation is going on? Only those who understand Portuguese. We're walking through life and there's a conversation between God and us going on. But if we don't have spiritual understanding, we don't know what God's saying. A person blinded to truth doesn't know they cannot see. They must be schooled in truth, not just driven past it. Well, I drive by the church occasionally. That ain't going to open your eyes. You got to be schooled by what the church is supposed to be teaching of God. Sadly, a lot of churches are no longer teaching the truth and expounding God's word. One begins with a new birth, receiving the new Lord, and begins the process of being conformed to the new person they have begun to be. Have you begun to be that new person? Have you started engrafting His word and saying, I don't care what the facts are in my life, it is written, says. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's how you worship God. No, you worship God like this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is a simple form. The word says you worship God by doing the truth, adding the truth to your life, becoming the truth. To the new birth, many attributes must be added. The missing ingredients to a mature life. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. How do I get grace and peace? The more I know about God, the more I have. Of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Oh yes, everything has been granted to you. How do I get it? You unlock it with knowledge. If you have never operated an automobile, you can stand and look at it for hours. You may even comprehend that if I knew how to operate it, I could go someplace. But until you have knowledge of how it works, it's just another scrap pile of metal. This is a pile of new life. As I add these scriptures to my life, I become stronger, healthier, wealthier, happier, free from despair and discouragement. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. I've got to read the word to find out what I've been called to. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. That new covenant is promises that belong to me. It's my will of what I own. I own health. I own wealth. I own joy. I own peace. Amen. That by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. If I read that word, I escape the corruption that is in the world because of desire. I don't have to desire anything. I can manufacture it. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, add knowledge. In your knowledge, add self-control. In your self-control, add perseverance. In your perseverance, add godliness. And in your godliness, add brother kindness. And to your brother kindness, add love. I keep putting the add-ons on. I remember the first time I went to buy a new vehicle, 1965. And I went to the Chevy dealer, and I said, how much is a new Impala? $2,700. Do you want a radio? Well, yeah, it doesn't come with it, no. That's an add-on. Do you want the harness that connects the radio? Yeah. Do you want power steering? What am I getting for $2,700? You're getting the car. But if you want air conditioning, power windows, electric seats, extra, extra, extra. A few years later, Lou and I was looking, and I'd like the Buick Park Avenue, the 225 series. So I went down to Culvert, and I priced a new four-door, and they started, well, do you want The AAM-FM radio? Yeah. Do you want the cassette player? Yeah. The harness to connect them, because you had to get a new harness if you got the upgraded radio, was $11 and something. And I'm going, you're charging me for the better stereo, and now you're charging me for the better wiring for the stereo. Well, do you want the padded top? Yeah, I want the padded top. Do you want the electric seats? Yeah, I want the... We put it all together, and I looked at it, and we had been looking at the Cadillac Sedan DeVille. The Cadillac Sedan DeVille came with all of that. And when I added up everything it was going to cost to get the 225 up to the Cadillac, the Buick was $147 more than the Cadillac. I looked at the Cobra dealer and I said, and I went over to Charles Mine and I bought her a new Cadillac for $147 cheaper than a Buick. And everybody saw her driving that Cadillac and thought, wow. But I priced them out. Because it came with everything, I didn't have to keep adding and adding and adding. What do I get in a Buick Electra 225? Four doors. Do you want the upgraded engine? Do you want the upgraded transmission? Do you want... Well, why should I do all that when I can go buy a Cadillac and it all came in a package? Why do I want to keep struggling to be happy in life when it comes in a package called born again? Why do I want to struggle with health when it comes in a package called with his stripes you were healed? Are you listening, church? When you add up what it costs to be a sinner, it's a whole lot more expensive than to be a saint. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. The more I engraft the word, the less problems I have in life, is what it's saying. Residents of the kingdom of God must be grown into. My citizenship must be developed. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Pastor Jim, what does that mean? Work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I can be saved from sickness. I had with his stripes, I was healed in my life, and I start producing that fruit. I can be free from fear. I add, he has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind, and I start producing that fruit. The more word I add to my life, the easier my life becomes. Because I forget the facts and I embrace the truth sets me free from the facts. Fact is, I should be dead today. Truth is, with his stripes I was healed. Fact is, I should be broke today. You go nearly 3 years behind pay, and the facts say, you're not getting paid? You're broke. No, my God supplies all my needs, not my weekly paycheck. I'm continuing to grow, buying new cars, buying new houses, buying new things. But Pastor, you can't do that if you're not getting paid. Hide and watch. You see, if you believe a lie, you're damned by it. Well, I'm limited to what I can make. I'm not. I refuse to be limited to my paycheck. My God supplies my need is a much fatter balance You can't starve me. You can't keep me from prospering. I've been places where they said, you can't. And within a week, I was. I've been on missionary trips, and they said, you have to do without, you have to do without, you have to do without. I found where the ice cream was. I found where the fresh bakery was for bread every day. I found the air conditioning. I found all those things. And the people were like, we've never had it like this before. I believe God. I believe God. Ask what you will and it shall be done. There is no situation that can keep you captive if you know the truth. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You must be born again mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally to see the kingdom of God. Because as long as you're blinded by facts, truth can never make you free. But when you're empowered by truth, there's not enough blindness in the world to keep you from seeing. Determined today, my eyes are being opened. King David said, open my eyes that I may see glorious things from your word. Well, it's just the Bible. No, 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 no. This is my key to success. This unlocks life situations. You're too late in life to tell me it don't work because it's working fine for me. You show me another way to prosper, and I'll look at it, but I don't know a better way. Peace, power, grace, fullness, all that religious stuff. No, no, no. That's my abounding stuff. You want a good life? It's here. Add it to your life, and watch what you produce. Father, we've shared your word and brought forth your truth. And your people are being changed as from glory to glory, from faith to faith, as your word shapes us and conforms us to your truth. Facts fall away from us. And the truth liberates us to be and do and have what you said belongs to us. Thank you that we are the redeemed. I praise you that I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Wealthy of mind, of spirit, of body. Joyful in the expectation of greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Go forth this week and listen for that idea from God. Let God show you a better way, a new way, so you can have a new day. Thank you for those few feeble attempts at agreement. But you are blessed because I keep covering you and decreeing it over you. You are blessed to be a blessing. Go with God. Minister, 6 o'clock tonight.